Blog Talk Radio.
We the best. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4-for-26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
All right, the round table is back at you, good folks. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm joined by my co-host, Jimmy Williams. Probably have B. Austin with you in a few. NFL preseason is at the halfway point, and the injuries are mounting, so be sure to stick around because at the top of the hour, we're going to have Dr. Monique Rowe back in the War Room to talk about some of those foot injuries that we've been seeing. But midway through this hour, we'll talk with the cast of the upcoming feature-length comedy, Blissfully Unmarried, so they can tell us what to expect from the film, which premieres in Philadelphia this Saturday. So strap on those seatbelts and join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to get into the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. And if you love our show, then you got to check out our partners. So for the very best in sports talk, tune in to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and check the listings for Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio, both shows on Blog Talk Radio. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch these guys and all of our other partner podcasts and webcasts at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com. at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on FatsRadio.com. But what's good, Jimmy? What's up, man?
Man, you know, I'm chilling, man. Sitting here watching the real-life Randy Watson say, you know, ain't nothing wrong. Praying for Jesus Christ, you see what I'm saying?
Yo, that video,
the real-life Randy Watson.
Dying, man.
Yo, that video made my day, yo. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you can find it, you know what I mean, one of us on Twitter or Facebook. We've been posting it all day. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, man. A dude, you know, singing a gospel song to the R. Kelly track, Bump and Grind. I don't see nothing wrong with a little Jesus Christ.
So with a little Jesus Christ, I don't see nothing wrong.
Jimmy,
with
my
little
thought,
Jesus Christ.
Yo, my thoughts on that is that whole thing is blasphemous from the door, because first of all, R. Kelly and Jesus Christ don't really mix. So,
dog, you disrespected Jesus Christ and R. Kelly at the same time. How's that even possible? But he did it, though. My man found a way to do it. That's the funniest thing of the day right now, man.
With his Harold Peener suit. And his,
yo,
he had like a trench coat suit. It was velour. Shout out to Lamont for pointing that out. All right, but y'all see the video, man. Just find us. Check it out. Y'all see the video, man.
Yo, we might post on my Facebook page. Even though it's not sports related, yo, it's still hilarious, so we got to share it. But anyway.
Yeah. We'll put it up before the show's over. So while y'all on the grind, of course, brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, worldroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. All right. While y'all on the grind this week, more Aaron Hernandez news. Aaron Hernandez, this dude's in trouble. First of all, today he was indicted. So he's definitely, you know, charged with the murder of Odin Lloyd. But earlier in the week, Massachusetts State Police found a gun. And this gun they recovered, they said it can link Aaron Hernandez to the double murder in Boston back in 2012. This dude is just...
Yo, man. Hold on, though. The gun was found in the car of a 19-year-old. who,
one of his get down people.
Yo, and she's from Bristol, Connecticut, you know, where he's from. But she was in Springfield, Massachusetts. Massachusetts.
I couldn't say it either.
But look,
this is the thing, Jimmy. Like, we all know street code. You know what I'm saying? And we all know that, you know, people run around with guns that got bodies on them. But this dude is rich. You know what I mean? Even if he did do this, like, get rid of the guns and buy some new ones. Like, why are you riding around with in a car with a gun that has at least two bodies on it? Like,
maybe she was on her way to put in some work too.
I don't know.
She's on her way to add some more bodies to that thing. Like, but she was involved in an accident.
Yeah, it was just like a whole accident thing, and they found the gun in the car. But my problem is, even if she was on her way to put in some work, your boss need to buy you some new guns. That's
she was on her way to
find some smarter. If the boss just wants you some new guns,
it's just bad. It's bad business overall, all around.
Aaron
got
to get
his
operation together,
that,
man.
And also, I'm just thinking about the fact that, I'm waiting for Dick Wolf to get a hold of this for Law & Order SVU because he rips everything from the headline. So I see that he's on a Trayvon Martin episode, so he got to do an Aaron Hernandez episode so he can tell us what really happened because, you know, that's where I get all my facts from TV. So, this is wild. The funny thing about this is this whole story with him being a football player, living a double life as allegedly a gangbanger and now a murderer, it's like if someone told me this was on TV, I'd probably say I'm not watching it because it's like too far from reality. That's the crazy part.
I know. And the crazy part is, you know, you said that he's going to have to do a Aaron Hernandez episode. He's probably going to have to do an Oscar Pistorius, a.k.a. the Blade Runner episode as well, because he was finally officially charged with premeditated murder. The officials over there in South Africa are not buying his story that, you know, he shot his girl because he thought she was an intruder. Witnesses say that they heard screaming first, heard shots let off, and then heard screaming afterwards. So, you know, that's not helping his case whatsoever. But his trial will start in the beginning, somewhere in early 2014. I think the date was set for like March 3rd through 20th. Is that how they do in South Africa? They give you a date range? I thought the trial goes as long as the trial goes.
Yeah, they look, we got to get in and out. We ain't got time to be playing around, man.
We got to lock his ass up by the 20th.
Yo, now they're saying that there's witnesses and all that, like, you know, in terms of him shooting guns off and other stuff. Like, what's up with these athletes? I know we live in a culture in terms of America of, you know, of guns, as you can see on the news every night. But people, man, like, yo, in the words of my man Anthony Chris, a.k.a. Tretch from Naughty by Nature, man, you got to do your dirt all by your lonely, man, because, yo,
Trigger,
I watched First
Trigger Tretch.
Trigger Tretch, man, the homie Trigger. Yo, you got to do your dirt all by your lonely, man, because I watched First 48, yo. You can't get away with it no more, B. And this whole story is crazy, and it's funny when you talk about it. People feel a certain type of sympathy for him because, you know, I mean, the guy had both his legs chopped off. Let's keep it a bean. And, you know, he's considered a hero to a lot of people because he still was able to become a professional athlete, make a nice living doing so. And, you know, but that didn't mean he was exempt from the craziness that seems
should have chopped off his damn trigger finger. He wouldn't be in
no
problem.
It's crazy because being in this business, right, you know, we try to talk about the X's and O's and the great parts of sports, but all we ever come across in terms of content is the craziness that goes on. And I'm not sure whether things are just ramped up these days or whether they were just went unreported in years past or whether everybody's suffering from, like, using steroids and having side effects and everybody in sports is crazy.
Yo,
I don't know what
it is,
man, but
it's funny that you say that. This next story isn't about the actual people in sports being crazy, but I don't know if you heard about the baseball player killed in Oklahoma by three teenagers, 15, 16, and 17, and they killed the dude allegedly because they were bored and had nothing else to do. It was crazy. Like, the 17-year-old basically copped to it. At least that's what the authorities are saying. Saying they saw the guy go by, and one of them said, "There's our target." he told the cops we were bored and didn't have anything to do, so we decided to kill somebody. So they then snuffed out the life of this young guy, Christopher Lane, 22. He's originally of Melbourne, Australia. But, you know, he was in town in Oklahoma playing baseball and was just taking a jog and got rubbed out for no reason, man. I don't understand, man. This is a complete bad story.
I hate the fact that it's been politicized. People are saying that the president needs to speak on it. I'm not a fan of Barry Soweto, but at the end of the day, like, I don't think this should be politicized. Someone lost their life. I got into a little, like, debate on Twitter with Jason Whitlock, formerly of Fox, now of ESPN, because he tried to blame it on hip-hop. And this whole thing to me is, like, yeah, this whole thing to me is just sad, like, because, I mean, this dude lost his life for no reason. It sounds like they were trying to play Call of Duty in real life, but no one ever blames video games. Some people try to blame video games, but at the end of the day, this is just a sad story, man. And yo, the parents, though. I bet you if you start holding parents responsible, yo, a lot of these kids would act, they would, get in line. But, sad, so, man. Yeah. Like, dude was minding his business. Dude was trying to work out. See, that's why I work
jogging.
Out.
He was just jogging.
Because I ain't trying to get killed, so I don't work out. You know what I mean?
No. Stupid. But, they're trying to figure out if they're going to charge these teens as adults. And, I mean, I think that's obvious. I mean, you knew exactly what you were doing, and then you're going to have the nerve, if they really confess to this. You know, we never know with the authorities. But, you know, my man was just trying to jog, and they decided, like you said, to play video games with his life. So they should get the
terrible,
punishment
man.
That's due to him. If all the facts are out, they should get the punishment that's due to him. Let's go to something else that's not as, you know, ugly as the last three stories we talked about. Something light. I know I'm not talking about Magna Carta, Holy Grail, just something light.
Whoa! Here come the phone calls.
Shots fired! The Houston Texans now have the biggest jumbotron in the NFL. This is a story because everybody wants to know how Jerry Jones down in Dallas is going to respond. It's produced by Mitsubishi. I didn't know they still did anything. The Reliance Stadium new screen is made up of a series of connected boards, each measuring 52 feet by 277 feet wide for a total of 14,549 feet of display that's packed with 5.28 million pixels. It's 25% larger than the one at Cowboy Stadium, which is 72 by 160 feet and has 11,520 square feet. Now, I don't know how many people out there have been to the new Cowboy Stadium, but that video board is one of the biggest things I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to Reliance Stadium also, but, you know, of course, they just got this, so I wasn't privy enough to see this new video board at Reliance Stadium. But imagining something that's playing video that's bigger than what I saw at Cowboy Stadium, it's hard to imagine. I'm telling you, it's very hard to imagine. We have pictures of this posted on our Facebook page, too, facebook.com/warroomsports. What do you think about the
–
everything's
it's
bigger
Texas,
in Texas,
man. Yeah, that's the saying. Everything's bigger in Texas. And it's funny because people have been saying that, and that is honestly the first thing that crossed my mind is, I wonder what Jerry Jones is thinking. You know what I'm saying? Because we know what he's about, and we know that, you know, that was one of the things with him having his stadium. Come on, man. That's crazy.
Yo, I mean, that's Jerry crazy. Jones has a beautiful stadium. You know what I'm saying? I'm a rival fan. I'm an Eagles fan. And when I was down there, I wanted to vandalize stuff, but I couldn't bring myself to do it because the stadium was that beautiful. But everybody knows the claim to fame. The pride and joy of that stadium is the jumbotron hanging in the middle of the stadium. And he's not the type of dude who likes to be outdone. So I'm wondering if he's going to replace that with something even bigger.
That's the first thing that came to mind, man. Second thing is, I wonder what Pornhub looked like on there. But, I mean, it's like.
They probably testing that out right now.
Yo. I just wish I could have been in the room when they told him. And he said, they did what? What size? Like, you know what I mean? Because they're also in Texas. And they're trying to make them a rival, although you really can't. But they've been trying to. The NFL has over the past couple of years trying to somehow make them a rival. When it just doesn't work that way.
He probably fainted when he heard this.
That's crazy. But if he was really to like if he was a draw, and put up a new Jumbotron just because of that, that'd probably be the greatest thing in the history of sports, though.
it really would.
I mean, because
that
shows how petty you are.
It looked like the one at Reliance Stadium is kind of flat up against the wall type of Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you know, Jerry Jones has the one that basically hangs in the middle of the stadium. So I'm like, if there is a way that he can get something bigger suspended right there in the middle of the stadium, I'm like, you know, it would be crazy. But I do not put it past him. He does not like to be outdone.
My thing is this, though. When you put something like that in your stadium, is anyone actually watching what's going on the field, or are they watching it on the Jumbotron?
Oh, no.
I guess,
when I was at Cowboys Stadium, I found myself having to force myself to watch the game on the field. I had pretty good seats, but it's hard not to watch TV on a TV that's 72 feet high. Like, it's difficult, so... Yeah, I don't know a lot of people. Like, when I looked around the stadium once I realized I was doing it, everybody's head was looking up at the Jumbotron and not on the field. So,
yeah, man, it's crazy.
If you can get 100,000-plus people to pay you $100 each to come inside your stadium and watch TV, hey, why not do it?
I mean, that's
come inside
also
the stadium
true.
And
that's
do something
true.
That they could have done at home but pay you $100
to do it. Once you get the money, it doesn't matter, right?
Right, yeah. He don't care what they watch it on. They can watch it at the bathroom on the TV urinals. He wouldn't care. All right, so
yeah,
everybody, that's what happened this week while y'all were on the grind.
Let's talk about some birthdays, get some quick birthday shout-outs, and these birthday shout-outs are brought to you by Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. Treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area, the DMV, for those in the know. Listen, just visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Don't forget, tell them War Room Sports sent you. Are you guys playing basketball, tearing your ankles? Football season coming up. Y'all still want to live in y'all glory years?
The good doc is going to be with us tonight, probably in about 30 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Talk about some injuries. Now, these birthdays. The first birthday is when Michael Curry turns 45. Shout out to Michael Curry. Paul Molitor turns 57. The Big Tuna, Bill Parcells, turns 72. And Paul McGuire turned 75. Where do you rank the Big Tuna of all time coaches in your opinion?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. Sometimes I hear people talk about Tuna and I think they go overboard. But then then you look at his coaching tree. You know, people always get credit for their coaching tree even if they have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? He has Belichick with, like, 3 Super Bowls. He got Coughlin with 2 Super Bowls. He has Sean Payton with 1. He has 2 himself. So as a football mind, because he's the type of dude, you know, he only won his championships in New York. But it seems like everywhere he went, he did improve the situation. You know, even the people in Dallas.
Did.
It's kind of difficult to get along with Jerry Jones because he doesn't want you to buy the groceries. He just wants you to cook the meal.
Here's why I will always hold Bill Parcells in high regard. He went to the playoffs with Quincy Carter as his quarterback when Quincy Carter was snorting every 5 minutes. Like, and he somehow made it to the playoffs with Quincy Carter as a quarterback, so he definitely was a hell of a coach. But you're right. When it comes to football coaches, we always look at their trees. That doesn't happen in any other sport for some reason, but in football it seems to matter. So, and with that being said, where does that put Bill Walsh? Because the entire league is from his tree. He birthed everybody. Bill Walsh birthed everybody.
He birthed
like,
the whole
somehow
office,
another.
Still
yeah, it's like 6 degrees of Bill Walsh when it comes to the NFL, man. He, you know, so I don't know, but you know, in terms of the best coaches that I've seen in my lifetime, you know, I've seen Bill Walsh, I've seen Bill Parcells, You know, you've got to put Belichick up there. And I don't even know who else you put in there. In terms of our lifetime, in terms of great coaches, I mean, I would like to put Buddy Ryan, but that's like being biased because I thought he was entertaining. I'm not even a fan of Mike Shanahan, who was our coach, because I thought that, you know, he made a lot of mistakes, but, you know, we got it done. But those three, you know, Parcells, yeah. Belichick, and probably
I mean, if there was a, from this era, at least, from that era, if there was a Mount Rushmore of coaches, you know, it would have to be those three. Plus,
yeah, who's
might
fourth,
be working
though?
His way up there. He always about to get
this
fired.
This is true. He got two.
Go win a Super
he got
Bowl.
Two. Yo, they only get one Super Bowls when he gets his job is threatened.
Yeah.
That's true. Like, if that's a good question we could put out later. Like, if the Mount Rushmore in, say, the last, you know, 20, 30 years, who would it be? I mean, you know, I know those three, but the fourth one is kind of tough unless you take, like you said, you put Coughlin there, which also shows you the kind of emphasis that's put on the Super Bowl because if the Eagles had won one Super Bowl, that would have probably propelled Andy Reid to that level.
Yeah, because he had so much success outside of winning a Super Bowl. You're right. If he would have got it done one time in the five opportunities that he had, then,
yeah.
You know, the success
anyway.
Would seem much different than it does now.
Yeah.
Now it seems like failure, you know, because people have short memories. But
absolutely. Ooh. That's the thing. I just want to put that out there real quick. Anyway, man, tell everybody to get in touch with us real quick.
No doubt. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair and Sports and More blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app. Better get that if you don't got that. And watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, if you're lazy, you know, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us personally, because we're superstars, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're listening from your phone already, just press 1 if you want to talk. Now, while we're waiting to get our guests on the line from the film Blissfully Unmarried, we'll just talk about some hot topics real quick, Jim. You want to go ahead and do that? All right, so hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while doing other stuff at the very same time. All right, Charlie Manuel, Philadelphia Phillies manager, was fired earlier in the week. This is kind of sad, you know, if you guys don't know. Jimmy and I are both Philadelphia Phillies fans. What did you think when you heard that they let Uncle Charlie go?
I thought it wasn't cool. I'm like, listen, I understand things aren't going well. I'm also kind of biased because he did bring a championship to the town, one of the greatest days of my life in 2008. But I understand that sometimes like change is necessary. But they could let my man finish the year out. Seriously, you couldn't let me finish the year out, though.
Yeah, that was my big problem with the whole thing because he was in the last year of his contract. Somebody who just brought you 5 straight division titles, 2 World Series appearances, and 1 World Series win, I think he deserves a little more than to be let go with 40-something games left. Like, what is Ryan Sandberg going to do, you know, for the rest of the 40 games? The team's already bad. It's not really all Charlie's fault, you know. Ruben Amaro needs to take some kind of responsibility in this. Maybe that's why he was bawling so hard at the press conference. But Charlie Manuel, he's the winningest manager in Phillies history by far with 780 wins. and he's a 1,000-win manager for his career. I remember when he first started in Philly, you know, it was kind of rocky, and people thought he was kind of the village idiot and would mm-hmm. never get it done. And then, you know, he changed his fortunes, changed the fortune of the team, of the franchise in general, and now he's out. Like I said, I can see, just like with Andy Reid, I can see that sometimes it's just time for a new voice in the locker room, in the clubhouse, what have you. But let the man finish the year out. I don't understand why they had to let him go early in the year. I mean, not early in the year, but before the season was over.
Yeah, man, that's my thing. I guess only thing about this is now guess who the pressure's on now? The pressure's on tomorrow. You got to do something because, I mean, you kind of put it on yourself with this move. That was my only thing, man. You could have let Uncle Charlie finish it out, man.
Do you think Ryan Sandberg, do you think he's going to remain the manager into next season, or you think it's just an interim tag? Maybe the 40-plus games is to see what he can do so they can make an easier decision next year. But still, that came at Charlie's expense, in my opinion.
And I think that was my logic. I'm like, okay, that's the only reason I can see in not giving him the year, because you want to see what you have before you go ahead and make a decision and just bring in somebody from the outside. You want to see if you can, like, you know, promote from within. So you make the move now and give him an opportunity to see what he has. It's just crazy, man. Like, and then when you look at the landscape of, like, Philadelphia sports, right? And you look at our teams, like Chip Kelly at this point is like the second most tenured coach in the city.
Yeah. And he hadn't coached a game yet.
He ain't played a game yet.
He ain't coached one game.
Yo,
all right, so
think about that.
I don't know if everybody remembers, but, you know, Charlie Manuel is a friend of the show. So he actually gave us a call after he was let go and left us a voicemail kind of to tell us goodbye because he was leaving the city. So, you know, while Jimmy works to get our guests on the line, you know, I'll play you the voicemail that we got from Uncle Charlie. We affectionately call him Uncle Charlie here in the war room. And this is the message that he left on our voicemail, if I can find it. Y'all know when I'm stalling, trying to find something. All right, Uncle Charlie.
Hey, guys, you know, Charlie Manuel, you know, I call it, and it's really the best of terms, you know. Them guys over there let me go, you know, like, I ain't that mad, but, you know, I am kind of mad, you know. Ruben Amaro, whatever you call that guy, you know, like, Ruben, you know, I got one of, you know, different names, but, you know, this guy's going to give me a bunch of bums out there to manage, you know, I mean, I say we got a bunch of old guys, that's hurt. They got a bunch of young guys. I don't know about it. No, can't see the ball, can't swing. But they tell me, you know, go manage them. You know, and I did that. But at the same time, the Ruben Amaro, you know, that guy, you know, like, he forgot about 2008. I don't forget about Siri. You know, can't forget about World Series. That's all, guys. I took the guys there, you know. But, you know, that's how they're going to do me. It's all right. That's how I get done. Charlie, you know, I'm still survive, you know, like what they call it, you know, like survive. So I'm gonna do that, but this is gonna be goodbye, you know. I just call and tell you guys, you know, like, peace, you know, like goodbye, like, you know, like some guys say, what they say, deuces. I don't know what that means, but you know what I said. But either way, I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna go to I'm heading out to Bora Bora, you know, fly me a nice little waistline, you know. All right, let me stay on, you know, like on task. But anyway, you know, I'm trying to say bye to War Room. Thank you guys. Bye, Philadelphia. Yeah, I love you, city. I love you, brother Lila. You know, and regardless of what they say, y'all still my homies.
All right, I'm sure you guys out there who don't know Charlie Manuel probably didn't understand a damn thing that he just said. He's sort of he's a little bit of a rambler, if you haven't noticed. You know, he just likes to get out there and talk. But we have the cast, well, some of the cast of an upcoming feature-length comedy, Blissfully Unmarried. We have those guys on the line. We have with us the director, the writer and director, Derek Shaw. We have co-producer and actor, Dante Johnson. We have the male lead, Teddy Ames, the female lead, Kenda Stroud. And Blissfully Unmarried is going to be premiered in Philadelphia on Saturday, but you don't need to hear from me because we're going to bring the guys and girl, lady, on the line right now. Welcome to the War Room. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. How's everybody doing this evening?
Great.
Doing good.
All right. All right, just making sure y'all there, making sure y'all awake. Everybody sound, y'all might be a little tired from hard work.
Y'all working.
I was just listening to Uncle Charlie. Oh, that was a funny story.
Yeah. Uncle Charlie's a friend of the show, so, you know, he gets all the time to let us know what's going on. So he's a little sad that he has to go. All right, let's get right into it. You know, because we're very interested, you know, awaiting the premiere of the movie. So let me go to Derek first. Derek, this is Devin. I wanted to know what inspired the storyline for your first feature-length film, and was writing and directing it as fulfilling to you as you'd imagined it would be?
Yes, it was. Okay, well, divorce. I don't know, Devin, if you've ever been divorced, but it's not pretty.
No, not yet.
Me. And the lead actor, we all had stories. We used to sit around and just tell war stories, you know, like in the war room. We had stories, and then I would just take the stories and I just gather them all together, and I'd put a little bit of his, a little bit of his, a little bit of mine, and put this together.
Oh, this is really funny. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, hence blissfully unmarried. Okay, so now it makes sense. By the way, Teddy and Kendra, this is Jimmy. Here's my question. How did it feel to land your first starring roles in a full-length feature film? And also, I want to know about the chemistry. How was the chemistry with you guys as well as your co-stars and everybody else on set?
Okay, so ladies first, I assume, even though it's Teddy.
Oh, wow.
I would say, no, it was exciting.
That must have been an insider. We'll let y'all have that.
No. Some people don't know.
She has ongoing hate for me on and off.
We were supposed to dislike each other, so we kind of just played that up when we weren't.
Yeah, so you're still in character. I get it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Thank you. You get me. Thanks.
So how was everything? Because this is like your first role, right?
I've not been in a movie before, but I've done other acting, but not a movie, not a feature like this. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So are you fully prepared to see yourself on the big screen?
I think I'm as prepared as can be, and then there's always wine. All right. What is with the judgment? What is the problem?
Hey, Teddy, how about you, Teddy? Are you prepared to see yourself on this big screen?
I'm sorry. Say again. I didn't hear the question.
I said, considering, like, you know, I think this is your first role in a full feature film. So I was wondering, how prepared are you to see yourself on the big screen?
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know that there is a way to be prepared other than wine, like Kenza suggested. I think you just, you know, you do all of the things necessary in preparation up to this point, and just hope that it works out. That's where I'm at.
He's being too modest, Devin. Let me tell you, I've seen the movie 50 times already, but Teddy has had opportunity to screen it with us, but he just will not. So he's got to have some type of plan in store when he just won't see it. He's waiting till the premiere to actually see the movie.
Because listen, we do radio, right? And sometimes we hate to listen to our own voices. So I can only imagine having to watch yourself. I'm not trying to scare you guys, but I can only imagine. Trying to watch yourself on the big screen, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's
going to
be a
for yourself. I think it'll be a fulfilling experience, and I did watch it, so we're good.
So, oh, cool. Yeah, from what I gather from this, when we, like, if we come to the premiere on Saturday and meet you guys, y'all might be a little bit tipsy because everybody's talking about wine.
I'm the only one that said that. I'm kidding. I only said that because everybody from my church is coming. Oh, my God, the irony.
Wow. This
and
hey,
throw that in there
movie
just in
you
case.
Want the church to show up at.
Hush.
Right.
Yes. So, wait, I think there was a question for Kenda. Gentlemen.
Oh, actually, yeah, I do have a question, Kenda, because you said your church is going to show up. So here's my question.
Okay.
And I don't want to give away too much in the movie, but your character is kind of scheming, conniving, you know. So was it difficult to get into that type of character, and how are you going to feel about your church seeing you that way?
I have reminded them that it is a movie. But, you know, I've been known to handle my scandal, so I was able to kind of, you know, people that don't know me that well say, oh, she's so nice, and if you know me a little more, you know that, you know, if there's a situation, I can kind of handle it vocally pretty well. But this was above and beyond or beneath what I'm capable of, so it was just fun doing it. It was a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what people say, it was definitely a stretch.
I don't know. Can we tell the story? We always tell the story. But let me tell you.
Let's hear it.
When she came in for the first read, she was, well, she claimed she wasn't, but we thought she was in character because she was that bitch that she was supposed to be in the movie. She came in just like that. And we were like, wow, I don't know if we want to work with her, but she turned out to be a joy to work with, and she did a great job in the movie. So you guys
might have been the wine.
anyway, I don't know if I've heard that particular story before, but we'll talk offline. Bye. Okay.
All right. So Dante.
Yeah.
We know. Well, you're one of the co-producers on the project, you know, but you also star in the movie as Kenda's love interest. Is acting something that you've always wanted to do, or did this role kind of just materialize since you were an integral part of the project?
And you just wanted to play Kenda's love interest. Is that what it was?
Well, actually, I didn't know. I didn't know that I was going to be Kenda's love interest. I didn't read that far in the script. I'm not a trained actor or anything like that, you know. They said, you know, basically I got my role as producer. Producer means you gave money. I gave money. I'm an investor also in this film. And so one of the perks was, I'll get to act in this film also. So I was in it, and I didn't really know I was going to be her love interest until the day that, you know, that day was coming up. I was like, ooh, I'm supposed to kiss her. Okay, this ain't bad.
You're
getting a lot of perks with this. With this investment here.
Wow.
So it was a perk of the job. It was a perk of the job.
Kenda, he called that a perk. That's cool.
Yeah, it was a
Teddy? Is that Teddy? Please, Teddy. Listen,
but
no, there's no need. It's too late for the hate. Mm-hmm.
So, Dante, how did
a great
you like
perk
it,
was. If you saw our headshots, it was a great perk.
Yeah.
How did you,
thank you,
acting, though? You think you might want to do some more acting?
Well, you know, you guys know me. You know, I host a blog talk radio show also, and I love doing that. Acting, if somebody came along and said, you know, we got a part for you, maybe I'll do that. But it's not anything that I'm really interested in actively pursuing. No.
He did a great job. He was awesome in the movie, though.
I didn't see the whole thing yet, but from, you know, the snippets and the trailers that I saw, I mean, didn't look bad. So I don't know. You might want to think
job.
About it.
I think Dante just wants to view the headshots first, and then he'll determine whether he wants to, you know, act again or play the movie.
Depends on who you're concerned with. Listen, we
know Dante's prowess as a sports writer, talk show host, and all that, but anybody else a sports fan?
No.
I'm a Philly fan.
Steelers.
Okay, I hear Steelers. I hear Philly. Okay,
Bronco.
So Kenda, who you like, Kenda?
I'm Philly. My late father, no matter what the Eagles were doing, good or bad, he had an Eagles party. I'm an Eagles fan. I bleed green.
Gotcha. Oh, somebody said Steelers. Who was that said Steelers?
I'm a big Steelers fan. Back in the day, my dad played semi-pro ball for the Steelers. So he brought us up. Steelers fan.
Oh, Steelers fan. I heard somebody say Broncos.
That would be me.
We didn't hear that. Are you going to really acknowledge that?
Oh, yeah,
social media sites, but we need you guys to go ahead and do your commercial real quick.
All right, Don, you got that.
All right, well, the premiere is happening on Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's a red carpet affair. It'll be shown at the International House, 3701 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia, PA. And there's going to be after a post-premiere party right down the street at 3801 Jolly's Piano Bar. So come on out and celebrate with us as we premiere Derek's directorial debut and the actors and cast and crew and everyone.
All right, cool. You sit right down on 37th Street. Okay, 37. I got you. So 3801 is what
you guys are on Facebook, Twitter, and all that, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we are on Twitter. You can follow us at Bliss Unmarried. You know, you can fit the whole name in on Twitter, but Bliss Unmarried, or you can even search Blissfully Unmarried, and you'll come up with our tag. We're on Facebook. We have a page on Facebook. Just search Blissfully Unmarried there on Facebook, and you'll see a lot of behind-the-scenes footage, the actors' profiles and headshots and some trailers there. And you can even visit our website, which is www.blissfullyunmarried.com.
Did he say red carpet? That mean I got to get dressed up to come see the movie, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to put a tux on and all that.
Yeah, we'll get dressed up. We'll come see the movie. We'll bring Kenda and Teddy some wine so they can get through the movie. You know?
I'm fine. All right. I'll have mine. Thank you.
Can never have too much.
We have our own stash, but I'm going to need a supply, so if you guys want to come.
All right, well, we want to thank you guys for coming on for a few minutes with us tonight, and we hope everything goes well on Saturday. We hope everybody loves the movie. So good luck to you guys. We're glad to see other people working hard and doing their thing. And you guys, you know, if you have another project, you're always welcome in the war room, or if you just want to come talk some sports.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
always welcome in the war room.
Sounds good.
And when you start selling the DVDs and the iTunes and all that, let us know about all that, too.
All right, definitely. And Devin and Jimmy, we'd like to thank you. Mm-hmm. Man, you know, I follow you guys. I love you guys. You guys do an excellent job. I was just on the page today talking some AI stuff with you, Dev. Keep it up, man. And we thank you.
All right.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for everything.
All right,
take it easy.
All right.
Cass from Blissfully Unmarried. You know, we'll give you some more information if you can't check that out at the premiere on Saturday. You know, like Jimmy said, once they get the DVDs and the iTunes and all that stuff working, we'll get that information out there so you guys can check it out. But go to our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/warroomsports, and you can see the two trailers. They're right inside the comment section of the advertisement for their appearance here on the show tonight. So we heard from Charles,
man.
You know.
Yeah, real quick, Dev. I just got to bring something up because at KCMac38, shout out to Leroy, who's a huge baseball fan. We know that. He just wanted to bring up that Carl Yastrzemski's birthday just passed. So,
Actually, had him on the list, but we always got to whittle it down to four. And Casey Mack is the biggest baseball dude out there. I was thinking if we said Carl Yastrzemski, like he would be the only dude who knew the hell we were talking about. So, so he didn't make the cut.
No doubt.
Definitely, happy birthday to him. Oh, and by the way, I was down in Dallas this past weekend, so I got to bust it up with Casey Mack a little bit. He came out to dinner with us, he and his lovely wife.
Shout out to Casey Mack.
It's always good when you can hang with one of the best sports writers out there. So shout out to Casey Mack. All right, so like I said, we heard from Charlie. Charlie, he didn't sound too happy about being fired, but he rambled on, said something. But sticking with the MLB, Ryan Dempster was suspended 5 games for plunking A-Rod. Now, this sounds, it sounds like a punishment, but if you're a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, you only pitch every 5 to 6 days anyway. And since it was an on-the-field incident, he doesn't lose pay. So what here is really the punishment, because if he was to pitch on the 5th day, all they have to do is, tweak the rotation a little bit, and he's not even going to miss a start. So,
I mean, here's the
thing,
man.
Are they sending
a
message, Jimmy, that they don't really care if you mess with A-Rod at this point? Or what?
Listen, before I even say something, man, I see Skyview Kevin is listening. I just want to say the Raiders suck. Now, back to this A-Rod situation, that really isn't a punishment. Because, like you said, he only pitches, every couple days anyway. He doesn't lose pay. And the whole crazy thing about the A-Rod situation is I see that even on TV, they're marketing the fact that he has this suspension looming. They're like, three-time MVP, the most home runs of any active player with the suspension looming, and he'll be on ESPN. And I'm like, come on, are you serious? baseball is going to capitalize on this one way or another. They really don't care to protect him. I found it, I shouldn't laugh at someone being thrown at, but,
I laugh,
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, because baseball is funny because baseball is this game where it's all about statistics and history. They try to police themselves. They have unwritten rules. Like, baseball has an entire culture that I just find so interesting and hilarious at the same time.
This whole culture of retaliation, somebody gets hit, then your pitcher has to throw at one of their guys the next inning. It is corny because some of this retaliation goes on. Like, say something happened now in August, but it's the last game that you're going to play against this team for the year. Like, expect somebody to get plunked next season, when the season starts, because that's how petty they are in baseball. So
that's what I'm saying. To me, baseball is a funny sport. I mean, every sport, I mean, we all know basketball has a culture, football has a culture, but baseball culture to me is just very, it's very interesting, and it's also hilarious at the same time because you have these guys who are about honor and pride and standing up for your teammates and these unwritten rules, you shouldn't do this when this happens, yet they cheat. And they kind of fudge the numbers, and it's just weird to me, but at the same time, I still find it interesting. So when he came with the bat, I was wondering, I said, so now what are they going to do? They're going to, try to police themselves as baseball often does, and they throw right at him. So I just found it very interesting.
David Ortiz came out and said that he really didn't like that they threw at A-Rod like that. That's kind of crazy to say, first of all, in Boston, when you play for Boston, because, the Yankees are their mortal enemies, and A-Rod probably represents the worst of the Yankees, so it was kind of brave. I guess, he's built up so much credit there, I guess he feels he can say whatever the hell he wants to say. So shout out to Big Poppy for not being scared of the Bostonites, because you ain't really the complexion to be talking like that up there.
He's definitely not, especially looking like the mother from Good Times. But go ahead, though.
Yo, don't he look like Florida Evans' love child or something, man?
Nah.
Big Poppy look like, I don't know if that's bad for Poppy or if that's bad for Florida Evans. Rest in peace to Florida Evans. I don't even know her real name. Esther Rowe.
Well, that we.
Yeah, that's her name. No, no. Hold up. See, now you're confusing me, man. Yo, somebody said, which Claude Evans' real name,
yeah,
man?
She's Esther Rowe. She's Esther Rowe. Weezy is, Weezy.
What's Weezy's name?
Weezy. All right, but look.
Her name Weezy.
Name
oh,
Weezy.
Man.
All right, so
Louise.
Ichiro gets his 4,000th hit last night. Now, this is somewhat of a situation, and we talked about this. We actually posed a question out there on our Facebook page earlier this morning. You got a lot of responses. I was actually surprised at the way the conversation went. But he got his 4,000th hit. You know, he was honored at the game last night. They were playing the Toronto Blue Jays, and the thing about that, 4,000 hits leaves him only behind, I believe, Pete Rose and Ty Cobb. Like, he's the third member into the 4,000 hit club. However, 1,278 of his hits came in the Japanese Pacific League. So what I was asking the people this morning, like, do you think that's a legitimate number, you know, since he didn't play most of his time in the major leagues in America? Do you think the number is legit?
Now, it's a legit number, but in terms of it mattering in the grand scheme of things, I don't think so. Quick side note, by the way, Dev, her name was Isabel Sanford that played, you know, the Miss Jefferson. And I think we're going to do a versus, Miss Jefferson versus Miss Evans. But anyway, that's another story. We're going to do that versus later. But
I don't know where we're
going to
put.
Is
it going to be best mother? Because it ain't damn sure going to be best looking.
Put it like this: if you had no choice, you had to take down one. Which one would it be? Life or death situation. life or death situation. You had no choice. It had to be one or the other. Would it be Florida Evans or would it be Louise Jefferson, yo?
It'd be death.
He said, give me depth. Yo, but anyway, back to Ichiro, since that is what we were talking about. Here's the thing. It's not that I don't respect the other professional leagues, because I'm not one of these guys who disrespects other leagues, although I am sometimes, because, you know, but I look at the NFL with the CFL and all these things, and I look at the numbers that Warren Moon had, which really aren't counted in the grand scheme of things. So you can say professional baseball and you can say Major League Baseball, but those are two different things. And when you look at Major League Baseball, it's a little bit different than, say, basketball, who has a Basketball Hall of Fame, and they keep basketball statistics as opposed, you know what I mean? So it's a little different. And I also look at the history. Someone brought this up on our Facebook page, and it's the first thing I thought of when I saw the question, which was the Negro Leagues. Because everything you read in historical documents says that the Negro Leagues, for the most part, were more competitive, had the best players. So, you know, once they started making a raid on the Negro Leagues, and the players left to go to the major leagues, you know, for financial reasons, it kind of
they didn't count their numbers.
The Negro leagues, but you didn't count their numbers. I mean, Satchel Paige's numbers were through the roof. They don't count. You understand what I'm saying? So it's hard to count Ichiro's. Yeah, it's a number of players that, you know, you just don't count those numbers, so how can you count Ichiro's numbers in the other professional league? And that's not to say that the league isn't competitive, because, I mean, man, you watch a Little League World Series now, and they compete over there. They play no games.
They always in championship. But look, this is my thing, because I don't – like, I go back and forth on having a staunch opinion about whether or not they should count. Like, I can speak more on how America usually views anything that's not American. And like you alluded to a little bit – you know, America they don't really respect leagues outside of America. Think about it. Somebody wins a championship in an American league, they call it a world championship.
How arrogant is that?
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit disrespectful. So I'm just wondering if, let's say Ichiro ends up passing Pete Rose, who's the all-time leader at 4,256. What are they going to do? Are they just going to, you know, outright say that he's the record holder, or is that godforsaken word asterisk going to be thrown around, you know, like they do about home run records and stuff like that right now? Because it's weird to me.
He's definitely going to get the asterisks, and because this goes into an entire bigger conversation.
that I really was trying to avoid, but let me just, like, go there briefly. One of the things about our country, and I do love our country dearly, is the fact that we are bred as children to believe that we are better than everyone, you know. But when you start looking at the facts, we definitely aren't better than anyone from a financial standpoint, you know, from a literacy standpoint, from a math standpoint. I mean, we're behind in everything. But at the end of the day, we have this kind of, like, attitude as though we're the best. We don't look at ourselves as being global citizens. We're just American citizens. So, and, you know, this is how we treat our sports. Like you said, there's world champion. How can the Miami Heat, you know, win a championship in the NBA and they're the world champions? Like, seriously? You know,
this is what we play an international tournament to get that title.
This is what we do. And this is how we treat it, specifically with baseball, considering that baseball is a sport that is huge on numbers. I mean, we talked about it a minute ago, how baseball has this thing about its history and the numbers and what they mean. So there's no way they will be allowed to call him the Hit King when he has over 1,200 hits in a league that didn't take place within America. It's just not going to happen.
Right. Now, when we posed a question this morning on our Facebook page, it was, you know, the legitimacy of the number, you know, people were overwhelmingly saying that it was legitimate. And that's really not what I expected to hear. I mean, I'm glad that I heard people speak in a way that wasn't reminiscent of this arrogant stance that you say we take as a country. But I'm still just wondering how that would be possible, because I'm just wondering how they would play it once he gets – once he starts breaking records, you know, I'm really interested to see how they would play that, see if they have the asterisks by it, or if they say anything else close to that. Like, I just don't understand how people thought that it would that easily be just into history as a number. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm rambling. I don't know.
No, I'm telling you, though, like, honestly, like, it's not going to go down, man. There's no way they'll call him the all-time. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You know, he's going to have the asterisks because, you know, and not even that I knock that happening, considering, you know, they didn't let other stats come over, so why should his? You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still an accomplishment.
You think if they do let him, you know, if they do let the number stand legitimate, you think black people would be upset?
Because
I've heard the Negro League argument several times so far.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of people who are, and I think they would have a legit case, but, yeah, I mean, they definitely would. I mean, I can't see why they wouldn't, you know what I mean? So I definitely think they would. It's already come up several times, and it's a legit argument. It's not, you know, something that's just pulled out of someone's ass.
Yeah,
it's a legit argument, so.
But I found
at the end
a lot of
day,
people.
Man, it's still an accomplishment.
I found a lot of people answering the question the wrong way. I'm not saying anybody's answer was wrong, but, you know, we asked about the legitimacy of the numbers, and people kept saying, well, you know, had he been here, he would have broken the record, or he would have the same kind of numbers. But that's not really what we were asking, because I know he's capable.
Yeah.
You know, since he's been here during his span, he's been the best hitter in Major League Baseball. But, you know, again, if anybody has an opinion on that, just call us and let us know. The number is 323-410-0012. Do you think Ichiro's hit numbers are legitimate? You know, as far as all-time numbers, you know, will he break a record if he hits 200-something more home runs? I mean, not home runs, gets 200-something more hits and has more than Pete Rose. Will you recognize him as the all-time hit leader?
we poop on Pete Rose anyway, so what's the difference, you know?
I know. He's banned, so who knows if they even recognize that anymore. All right, but
yeah,
real quick,
did you hear Pete Rose's statement though? When he said that, he was talking about himself because that's all Pete Rose talks about. And he said, "I made a mistake. The mistake I made was picking the wrong vice." He said, "If I'd have beat my wife, you know, or been drunk or something, then it would have been a little bit different. But because it was gambling, you know, they blackballed me." But I just found that interesting because
if they'd have caught me out there on Pornhub, I'd be straight. Because
when you take it off the field, if he was in any other profession, like his vice wouldn't have been as bad as any of the other ones. But because it was, you know, sports, you know, he committed the ultimate sin. But I just found that interesting. But anyway,
All right. Well, you know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about LeBron James possibly running for the president of the National Basketball Players Union, the Players Association. He decided not to do that last week, and yesterday Chris Paul was named NBA PA president. So his 18-month stint begins pretty soon. This was after 2 days of meeting in Vegas. Do you think Chris Paul is a good choice for that job, for that position?
I do think, because he's one of the only players outside of, say, LeBron and Kobe that has, you know, global recognition. He's also one of the best players in the league. That's without question. And, you know, he brings a certain level of power with, you know, to the table in negotiations. I mean, he's also going to have Cliff with him to help him at all times.
And a certain amount of, you know, leadership. He is one of the best point guards in the league. So, you know, what he mm-hmm. does on an everyday basis is lead. So, you know, besides when he kind of throws Blake Griffin under the bus and puts all the pressure on him, maybe that's a leadership tactic. But
I think he was trying to motivate Blake. I took that a little bit different. I thought he was just trying to motivate him and let him know that, yo, we need you to get it done.
Oh,
but
I know
agree.
It was motivation. But,
yeah,
know,
I agree.
Certain leadership tactics for some type of people, you know, Blake might be a little too soft for those type of tactics. You know what I mean?
He's soft, dude. But I definitely think that it was a good move. One thing I didn't know, and I was looking this up, trying to do some research for the show, I didn't realize Isaiah Thomas served as president of the you know, the union.
Yeah,
you know that?
the two highest profile people in the past 20 years are Patrick Ewing and Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas won the championship.
I mean, we've seen Isaiah Thomas on TV after his career, and you know his grasp of the English language. You know, he found it a little difficult at times. So I'm kind of wondering how he held that position.
He definitely did. Yet Isaiah Thomas was able to get several executive jobs, several coaching jobs.
And then
he got the job of running.
He's still a consultant.
He got a job of running an entire basketball organization and ran the CBA
into
the ground.
Into the ground. Yeah, I'm about to say.
Yo,
he ran into the ground.
He was in there. You know, committing sexual harassment. But yet and still, Isaiah Thomas stays employed. Isaiah, yo, he must practice the secret. That's what it is.
Remember on TV, he used to say somebody down in low post was gangster in a bucket. Find out he was in the front. He was in the front office trying to gangster the booty. Come on, Isaiah.
Yo, Isaiah must practice the secret or something,
booty.
Man. Because he stays employed, man. Like, you know, so shout out to Isaiah, but he definitely was. I didn't know that, you know, but he put his time in and they won a championship when he did. So let's see if see what's going to happen with CP3 and his brother Cliff.
Speaking of Isaiah, somebody who's often compared to Isaiah, Allen Iverson finally is about to officially retire. And I think everybody else in the world thought he was retired 2-3 years ago since you haven't seen him. But AI is officially retiring. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, it seems like it's a situation where the pride is finally being swallowed, you know, realizations are coming to light.
I ain't going to hold you, man. A small part of me was holding our hope that somehow we see Bubba Chuck in again, even though he can't play a lick of basketball. It doesn't matter, because the fact of the matter is he is AI. Mm. And people don't understand that AI, like, meant so much to people from our generation for a number of reasons that had nothing at all to do with basketball. He was, like, you know, anti-establishment. He love him or hate him, or, you know, you can say what you want about it. You could disagree with the way he carried himself, but he was who he was.
He had become
one of these phony people.
He had a huge influence over the league, its players, and a lot of its young fans. You know, how people credit Jordan for a lot of the culture changes in basketball. I mean, for this past era, I think Allen Iverson probably was the face of the NBA, probably to the, you know, disdain of NBA officials. But, you know, who had more of an influence on and off the court than Allen Iverson?
Like, nobody. There's so many trends that AI set in terms of that. But not only that, the reason we gravitated towards him is because, yo, it's like the end of the Malcolm X movie. Like, I am Malcolm X. It's like, yo, we know AI. There are several AIs that are from our neighborhoods that play. He represented that. Now, some people say that's negative. Okay, cool. But the one thing you can never knock is that he was being himself. He was true to who he is, even if that is negative. Because we see so many people who come in and put on a front and are phony people. AI was never that.
Thank
told you
man,
was on
MJ.
His mind. You didn't always agree. I mean, MJ
wait,
was a total
I'm for,
coward.
Wait, I'm
a total
Jimmy
coward. Oh,
I got
no one to. I got nobody to fight back even. Let me tell you about MJ, man. MJ was a phony. He's a coward. He can't dress. For all his skills as a basketball player, he's the worst executive in the history of sports. And he's a sellout to his race. He never helped anybody but himself. And he kills children overseas by making them make his overpriced sneakers with no regard for their life, or human life for that matter. But anyway, back to Bubba Chuck, man. Listen, man, this is going to be a sad day to see Bubba Chuck go. I'm interested to see if they'll put him as a first ballot Hall of Famer for a couple reasons because, you know, he had trouble off the court. And
yeah.
a lot of the problems with the NBA, they kind of like point to him and blame him. But the fact of the matter is, yo, if AI is nominated to go into the Hall of Fame, yo, we are throwing a War Room Sports bus party in conjunction with the Broad Street Line. Yo, I'm telling you, we're going to partner up with the Broad Street Line and Sports Track Radio, and we are going to the Hall of Fame to watch AI inducted because that's what AI means to us. And people don't understand that.
We're wearing a do-rag and some baggy-ass pants.
Dog, AI still walks around with 5 XTs, and it's 2013. But that's AI, though. And that's what they don't get.
He weighed like 106 pounds.
There's certain athletes, right, where I don't even want to talk about them because I understand that I can't be objective, and people just don't understand what they mean to us in our culture. And two of them are Mike Tyson and Allen Iverson. Like, yo, we know they're flawed. We know they're flawed as players. We know they're flawed as human beings, but it doesn't matter. About the screen.
Mm-hmm. No need. Because we're about to bring our guests on anyway, so... if you're
right,
waiting on the
go,
line
man.
To talk to us, give us a few minutes because we're about to have another guest on. But, you know, AI, like you said, man, he definitely was a trendsetter in the league, man. It was sad for me to see the situation. You know, he put himself mainly in the situation. But the situation
he
he's been in the past few years, it's just sad to see because, in my opinion, no matter what the sports writers think about him, like, I don't think there's a way in hell that he won't be a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, because
listen,
for as much as he did off the court, like at his size, what he did on the court was sometimes nothing short of amazing. So they got to put him in the first ballot.
He dominated. And the thing is, we've been out partying with him. AI is not even 6 foot. I don't care what they tell you. Let him listen to 6'1", 6'2", sometimes. Yo, AI wasn't 6 feet tall. And he dominated.
5'10".
He played every play. He played every play like it was his last. He gave everything he had, and he never was half-assed like some players these days. Like, you know, he just gave it his all. He was a hell of a basketball player, if you could separate all the craziness.
The only time he was half-assed.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
That's the greatest thing ever, though. Like, you know, that's the greatest thing ever, though. And I mean, that's the thing. He was a flawed human being, but we all are flawed. And people like to have this holier-than-thou thing. We're all flawed. AI was flawed, too. But he was real. And, you know, some of these dudes you see up here now, they're not real. Like, yo, Kobe is my man. I'm a Lakers fan. He ain't real. He tried to get more real once his ass got in trouble. But at the end of the day, man, AI was real from day one, man. So this was a sad day for me. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a party when he's inducted, man. So look out for that, man. We definitely going to the Hall of Fame. We taking a bus out there, and we going.
Like
you know what I mean?
Bus party.
You gonna make the Million Man March, man?
Ratchet.
We gotta do something ratchet.
Nah,
we gotta do something ratchet. You can't get on the bus unless you got on baggy jeans and Timberlands either, man.
And if you don't have a bag of weed in your pocket, I don't even smoke. But if you don't have a bag of weed in your pocket, then you can't come.
No, we leaving in narcotics alone. No narcotics.
We gotta get pulled over for AI. We gotta get searched.
All jokes aside, man. I hope they let AI in first ballot and don't play no games with him, man. Because you gotta like basically respect his game. and respect what he has done culturally to basketball. He's changed it forever. Basketball would never be the same. I mean, you can even go as far as to say AI made tattoos popular in the NBA. And that's true.
He wasn't the first to have them, but, I mean, some dudes got the exact same tattoos. Tyson Chandler.
Yo, there are guys in the league that literally have looked at AI's art and got the same tattoos. Carmelo Anthony is a 6'8 Allen Iverson.
Yeah, when they were walking around in Denver, that was his big-ass mini-me. How does that work?
Yeah, how that work?
6'8 lackey.
But, that's what it is, though. I mean, that's what it is, man. And that's all I got to say, man, because I could ramble on about AI for another hour. All right,
well,
but
there's a lot of people in the NFL that are getting injured. There's a lot of foot injuries going on in the preseason. And I'm sure, you know, if you guys were listening earlier in the show before we did our birthday segment, the sponsor on that segment was our favorite podiatrist, Dr. Monique Roll, serving the DMV area and beyond. You know all that information, but we got the good doc back in the war room with us to talk about some foot injuries, mainly the Liz Frank injury that keeps popping up in the NFL. So we'd like to welcome Dr. Monique back in the war room again. Doc, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Doc. How are you?
I know you heard our whole Allen Iverson rant, and, you know, we get a little passionate about AI. You know, he was a hero in the city. He was a hero. He kept the police off of us. But anyway, glad to have you back, as usual. You know, everybody knows that you're our favorite doc. You're all over our social media all the time. You know, people say some
stuff. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can't report everything they say because it's not all appropriate. But anyway, Doc.
Oh, God.
This is true.
We're gonna get right into it. And we're going to talk about some stuff that's going down in your area of practice, down in Washington Redskins land. Their backup quarterback, Kirk Cousins, he's currently missing some practice time, and he's going to miss the third preseason game on Saturday due to what they're calling a mild sprain of his foot. Now, he's currently being listed as day-to-day as far as his return, but can you explain to us and the audience what a mild-level sprain is, how it happens, how painful it is, and how long it generally takes to heal?
Okay, so basically what they're describing is what's called a Liz Frank, a sprain. So it can happen, usually it's mistaken for an ankle sprain. So the person usually twists their foot or steps down.
Well, this one they're calling a mild sprain.
Oh, this is a foot sprain? Oh, this is they didn't call
Yeah,
a
we didn't
sprain.
Get
okay.
to the Liz Frank yet. His is just mild, but he's missing some time.
I mean, it depends on exactly where it's located. So is it on the top of his foot or is it?
It's on the top of his foot, but from I'm trying to get an understanding, basically. I mean, I've been injured a million times, but what exactly is the sprain, a mild sprain to the foot? Does that mean that the ligaments didn't tear, or they just stretched, or what?
So, I mean, it depends. So if it's what they're calling a quote-unquote mild sprain because it's been some swelling, it's a difficulty bearing weight on the foot, then in that case, usually it's just what's called a Reimer therapy, you know, resting, icing, compression, elevation, but depending on where it's located, you know, a ligament sprain basically is a strain of the ligament. The ligament is what attaches a bone to another bone. So it depends on if there's a little mild tear or if there's a total disruption of the ligament. So depending on where it's located, sometimes surgery is not always necessary. Sometimes just in a fracture boot or a cast or something of that nature is necessary. So it depends on where the sprain is located.
Right. See, and that's unfortunate for the Redskins because, you know, their starting quarterback, Robert Griffin III, he's saying, he's going to play week one because, you know, he had ACL surgery and MCL surgery, you know, some months back. He's saying he's going to play, but just in case he's not ready to go for week one, you know, this whole Kirk Cousins thing, if that injury lingers on, you know, they could be in trouble when the season starts, but we'll see. Like I said, they're calling it day-to-day, so we'll see what it's going to be.
Yeah. Doc, I had a question as well. This is Jimmy, by the way. We've seen several of the Liz Frank injuries pop up in the NFL, the latest player being thought to have been one of the Steelers' running backs, Le'Veon Bell. But my question is this. Can you explain everything about Liz Frank? Because, to be quite honest, it's like one of those things that came out of nowhere, and now everyone seems to have one. I'm like, is this a new fad? Like, you know, who is Liz?
First of all, who the hell is Liz? Who is Liz Frank?
Who the hell is Liz?
Listen, I've never really heard of it before, and then I saw a player that says, like, such and such has Liz Frank. I thought he married a white woman. So I didn't know what Liz Frank was. The next thing I know is, like, it's popping up all over the NFL. So my question is, what exactly is a Liz Frank? Can you explain that to us?
Okay, so Liz Frank is actually named after a Frenchman who was, his name was Jacques Louis Francis Saint Martin, is his name. So he was a surgeon in the French army who described this fracture and actually was the first person who described it. So that's where the name comes from. So it's LISFARNC. So that's Louis Francis.
Okay.
So that's where the name comes from. So the significance of this type of injury is, first of all, usually it's missed, especially in the emergency rooms across the nation. Most times people think it's just a simple ankle sprain. And, you know, they'll take an ankle x-ray and necessarily don't involve the foot. And then later on, sometimes, if you know, when it's not treated or recognized, you can end up having really big problems with deformity and other issues with it. Its significance is that it's a ligament that attaches, I'll try to keep it simple, I don't want to get all technical and medical on you, but it's basically the most important ligament in what's called the midfoot, the middle of the foot. So there's a ligament that attaches what's called the first metatarsal, and there's nothing that goes between that and the second one next to it. So this one goes between what's called the medial cuneiform and the second metatarsal. So when that is ruptured, it basically can cause that bone to possibly collapse, and then the whole foot can get, you know, out of whack and get snapping. You get total dislocation of the midfoot. And there's different levels, different classifications of severity of how bad it is. There's a whole classification called Hardcastle, Keanu. There's like different classifications. So all of them don't all necessarily have to have surgery. If it's just a sprain and there's no gapping in that space, then sometimes people are just cast. But if there's severe fracturing, which usually is diagnosed with a CAT scan or an MRI, then they have to have surgery to fix this area. So
you said it's missed a lot of times, right?
Mm-hmm. Because you have to have it.
I was just wondering whether the NFL or something, maybe they're doing some new tests or maybe they were told to look out for it, because it seems to be like an epidemic of sorts. Like, are there, every day I look on TV and there's a new player with a Liz Frank. And it's like you've never really heard it that much before, so I didn't know whether they were like doing some new tests or maybe someone said, hey, look out for these Liz Franks or whatever, what's going on. But
probably, I mean, people could maybe just getting a little nervous about being more aware of it, because like I said, unless you have a suspicion for it and you're examining the patient and you are thinking about it, sometimes people are like, oh, it's just an ankle sprain, and they don't check the foot. And unless you really push over that area in the top of the foot, it's not something that's going to be obvious, you know, to you just without examining.
Jimmy, I remember back, you know, a decade ago, Deuce Staley had one, but that's the only player I can really remember having one before this whole epidemic. But like you were saying, Jimmy, the Steelers rookie running back, Le'Veon Bell, he got a crazy name with an apostrophe in it. They diagnosed it at first as a Liz Frank injury. Now they're saying that, you know, it might not be that. Because at first they were saying unless he needed surgery, season-ending surgery, he would be out 6 to 8 weeks. Now they're a little more optimistic that he'll be back. So how easy is it to misdiagnose? Like, how close is a Liz Frank injury to, you know, just any other type of sprain?
It can be simple, because easy to miss, just because unless you have something called a flexion. So on an x-ray, you might see like a little piece of bone kind of swimming between the first and second metatarsal bones, and you may not notice it or you may not be expecting it, so it can be missed. Unless you get a CAT scan, which is, you know, more definition, you can definitely clearly see it on a CAT scan. So just regular playing from x-ray, when they go on the field and you take them back and do the x-ray, right then and there, they're not going to necessarily be able to know unless they're doing a CAT scan right then. So it's not hard to miss it, just because if you're not thinking about it and you don't examine for it and you don't do a CAT scan, if you have a suspicion, then you won't, it's not as very obvious all the time.
Cool. All right.
Thank
you so
much important
for the Liz Frank lesson.
Yeah. I hope it was like, not too
Jimmy thought it was a white woman, so.
No, I mean, you're a doctor. I just want
to
make sure.
That's what you're supposed to do. We bring you in here to talk to the people. If they got questions, you know, you can tweet the doc at on Twitter at. You want to tell them? Or, you know, I can tell them. I was going to tell you to go ahead and tell everybody all your information, the website, the phone number, where you practice, your
yeah.
Twitter, Facebook.
So it's at Dr. Sweetfeet on Twitter, A-D-R-S, Sweet, S-W-E-E-T-F-E-E-T. So, and our address, we moved our Alexandria office to 4663 Kenmore Avenue. It's in Suite 608 in Alexandria. And we have another office in Annandale, Virginia, which is 7023 Little River Turnpike. We have one phone number. It's 703-379-0700.
All right, Doc. Well, thanks again for joining us for another episode of Ask the Doctor. I'm pretty sure we'll be talking to you shortly. The regular season starts in about 2 weeks. More people are going to get carted off the field, and we will be calling you so you can explain to us why it is that this guy limped off the field or was carted off the field. So thanks again, Doc.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right.
Take care, Doc.
Talk to you.
All right, bye.
All right. Dr. Monique Roll, everybody. If you are in the D.C., Maryland, or Virginia area, and you're still trying to play basketball, and you're like 36 and overweight, like me, and you sprain your ankles, like me, and hurt your feet, like me, give her a call. She'll take care of you. All right. let's talk some football, because my feet hurting now.
Yo! Yeah, man. But I definitely did think it was a white woman. I ain't going to lie to you. Anyway.
All right, well, look.
NFL.
Before you do that,
yeah,
everybody,
tell me about
make sure
yeah.
Check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak to us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jim, you want to take a call? Because I think that's the homie Rob out in San Diego. You want to take that call?
Oh, yeah. Let's see what's up with Rob, though.
He might be calling in a slander AI. I know he's an AI slanderer.
Rob, don't tell me that's what you calling to do, Rob. What's really good?
Nah, man, it's Rob from Carson now, man. So,
are you you?
You officially in Carson, man?
Oh yeah, I'm going to school out here, Dominguez Hills. Go Toros, man.
All right, no doubt. That's what's up, man.
All right, but nah, I ain't gonna slander AI. People, I am not Stephen A. Smith, man. Don't take me seriously, dog. Come on. The only reason I do it is because Jimmy, is when Beyonce be slaying the Lakers, Jimmy can't say nothing because he's from Philly, and I respect that. But dang.
Listen, man. AI. There's no AI slander allowed this week just because, you know, he officially, you know, he hung up his jersey and his do-rag. You know what I'm saying? You know, but it is what it is, man. Everybody has to respect the man's ball game, man. No matter where you from, what you do, you got to respect the man's ball game.
Oh, no, I'm not down to his skills, man. He was...
Back at.
There was an element that, because a bad boy... Few players carry that bad boy element. Like, the first ones that was a tattoo was an AI. It was really Dennis Rodman.
This dude.
And when Dennis Rodman slowed down, his career is diminished. He bought something to the game that still carried that legacy, that street element.
Rodman didn't have any street element. Rodman was a weirdo. It's a little
he was
different
just, yeah.
in terms of
no, but even if he was the same as AI, if he had street element. I had this conversation with somebody today. Being the first doesn't always make you, you know, the best at something or anything like that. It was different. Like AI wasn't the first person to have tattoos, but he was so influential that once he did it, you know what I'm saying, it made it acceptable for everybody else. He wasn't the first dude to have braids in his hair. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the stuff that he picked it up in D.C., where he went to school. He came to D.C.,
yeah.
He didn't have braids in his hair, but everybody was walking around D.C. with braids in their hair. He picks it up, and he's on TV with it, and he's so influential, so everybody gives him the credit to start it. That crossover that he's known for,
something else he picked up in the streets of D.C. But if you take it to TV and you got 6 million fans, then everybody gives Allen Iverson the credit for the crossover.
Listen,
so it's the same thing. Crossover, braids, tattoos. You don't have to be the trend starter, but you can still be the trend setter because everybody's looking to you.
And his competitiveness was just
here.
It intensified every time Death stepped on the court. He wouldn't join the Super Friends today.
No, I don't think he would have been for that. Cause, yeah, first of all, that would have messed up his scoring average, so he wasn't trying to hear that.
Dropped down to 18 a game. Hey, there's an interesting thing I want to talk about because I like what Jimmy said about when he was talking about Jordan. I'm looking at this statistic. Mm-hmm. It says Air Jordan is responsible for over 1,200 deaths a year among African Americans, more than 20 shooter-related deaths per week. And I know in Philly, there was this kid that was on the news. I think he was 14, 15 years old. He got, I think it was past one or something, he got a rock for his shoes. And I was wondering, because I know this dude, shout out to Event Status, he's on YouTube, he's from Philly, he's the reason why I started watching y'all. What can we do to invest in our communities? Not really give back like charity, because I don't want to give charity back. I want to invest in my community. What can we do as sports fans to invest in our communities?
All right, well, here's the thing. When you say your community, do you mean as an inner city? Do you mean as an African-American community? Do you mean exactly where you live? You know, it depends upon, first of all, how you define community.
I don't even know if it matters. I think the best way to invest in community, it doesn't have to be a financial investment. You know, invest your time with kids, because you know that the young people are the people that's going to grow up and be the things and do the things that you're talking about. So if you just take the time out to mentor a kid, you know, steer somebody in the right direction, then you would have done your part, or at least you would have tried.
In the words of the War Room friend Ronnie Brewer, the NBA player Ronnie Brewer, the children are our future. Anyway,
But the reason, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, the reason I asked how you define that is because, you know, my opinion in terms of how to make a difference, a lot of it comes down to capital. And, you know, capital, because what capital enables you to do is work your way up the pyramid and then deal with, you know, what's being done politically. Because a lot of politicians can dictate a lot of things that goes on in the community, whether you talk about your local community or my local community. But the capital is where it comes at. We're in a situation where we're competing with lobbyists and people who have agendas. So if your agenda is to better your community, it starts with capital. So invest in your community. And that doesn't mean that you have to have money. Dev said invest your time, but also support local businesses. Support people who are trying to do the right things within your community. You have to build. It's not about what you can do as an individual. Yeah, that's right. Buy War Room sports shirts. That's a joke, but I'm not joking, though. But it's kind of like you support people who are like-minded. So, because what you do is you build as a group, not as an individual. So that's my opinion. Of course, what Devin said is accurate. You know, in the words of the late, great Whitney Houston and Ronnie Brewer, the children are our future. But at the same time, to make change that you can actually see, support people who are trying to do the right thing. Stop supporting the people who are taking from the community. You know, you want to have dollars circulate in your community. You want to do things to make change there. That's my opinion right there, good brother. Dez, anything else you want to say?
Nah, I'm good. We got to get to another call.
Absolutely. Okay. Hey, Rob, man, thanks for the call out there, Carson, man. Good luck at school and everything, too, good brother.
Bye-bye, thanks. And hey, AI, one of the best of all time. Don't take me seriously. I'm not Uncle Tom. I ain't Stephen A. Smith.
Got you. No doubt, homie. All right, take it easy, homie.
Each one teach one.
That's right. Let's get to the homie. Naeem, Maryland, via Philly. Laker Nation, what's up, baby?
Hey, Laker Nation, buddy. I'm surprised you didn't give a shout-out to your host. Happy belated birthday, brother. You know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That birthday did just pass, man. You know, it happened in between shows, so we really ain't saying nothing, you know what I'm saying? Plus, Devin wanted everybody to know he was getting older, so, you know what I mean? But since you put it out there, man.
I figured something was up.
Thanks, but how important really is your 24th birthday? I mean, it
ain't important. What do you think? How important is it? What birthday?
I said, how important really is your 24th birthday? 24 is not a big milestone.
I feel you on that. I'm going to be 25 this year, so I feel the same way. You know?
No doubt.
What's good, though, fam?
Get to the homie Iverson, man. I don't care what nobody say. You know, I mean, I've never been a Sixers fan, but I respect the Iverson. I don't know if it was Dev who said it. Iverson took the crossover move from a kid down here in Baltimore when he was down in Georgetown. You know, I mean, because he's from Virginia. But I had brains because of Iverson. I can't front. You know, Iverson brought a different culture to the league. That's why I fear. If I don't fear, I know he's going to be blackballed. He is. He's not like Rodman. He's not like Rodman. You understand? Iverson brought streets into the league. Crazy grimy dudes, man. You know
what I mean? Iverson actually had bars, though. Iverson was spitting 40 bars. Like, Iverson,
yeah,
Iverson was
bars.
One of... Yo, yeah, Iverson.
Literally.
But the thing about it is, AI has left a legacy that still exists, and I think that's part of what you're talking about, because J.I. Smith is like an offshoot of AI.
You ain't never lie about that. He is. That's what I look at him and laughing about. And it's funny, I found the picture of me having braids. I said, man, why did I get these braids? Because of Iverson, my little nephew. I couldn't even wear braids if I wanted to now.
AI definitely changed the culture of basketball. He kind of made like hip hop synonymous with basketball, and a lot of people are still offended by it to this day because that's how it's sold as a package.
Now, getting on to Hernandez, that's the name, the Patriots player. This kid, I think B. Austin said it first when the story first broke, and what he said is coming to reality to be the truth. I looked in the facts. Yeah, I mean, this kid is from up there in that area. He went to University of Miami or the school of Miami. I've been thinking like B. Austin. He put them things out there on the street. That's what he's rapping about at work today. And it's coming back to haunt him, man. Like, I think dude really put them things on the street. I'm like, how can you sign a signing bonus for $8 million? Here, dog, here go $1 million. If you can't get up off of that, leave me alone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's looking like this guy just basically had two lives, maybe living a double life, man. Like, you know, I mean, he has gang ties.
I'm confused about this gang life. I'm sorry. I mean, I grew up in a different era. I mean, we might go to war with a block around the corner, play football. Football was the gang. I'm not, you know, I don't care. I don't understand.
We ain't about that. Yeah, we don't bang colors. Like, we don't do that.
I said colors is red and blue, you know? Come on. Seriously, look at the pictures, red and blue.
Yeah, man, like, it is a different culture, man, and it's one of them things that, you know, started where it started and it permeated its way throughout the country, and, you know, people always want something to belong to. That's just what it is. I mean, that's part of human nature. It's the reason why we have mega churches. It's the reason why gangs are able to flourish. People want something to belong to, and a lot of times, you know, this is what happens, man, but this guy was a professional athlete with the weight. Out of that life, yeah, an athlete.
Exactly.
He's a professional athlete with a way out of that life, and he couldn't leave it alone. That's the problem. And, you know, stupidity is stupidity, man, no matter whether, you know, regardless of where you're at. You're stupid, but it's coming back to him, though.
People understand they're going to fry him. He's in the Commonwealth State. He's with the cheer. It ain't like this, you know, like at first when I first heard the story, I said, man, dude got money. He might be able to pull this off. And, like, you know, I think Wild's Ways, you know, is what you can prove in court, which is true. But you're talking about a lot of people that's going to start pointing fingers like, you're the man. If all of them start pointing the finger, you're the man, okay, how much money he got? He's going to get fried. I think he might get the chair.
No, he got a nice needle coming his way. That's the way I look at it. He's going to get a nice big old needle in his arm because it's more stuff still coming. He's already been indicted for one thing, and, you know, there's more charges looming. It's not done yet. Who knows what will pop up once they start snitching.
I don't care what anybody said, keeping it real. Ain't nothing fun about jail with that commissary. You talking to a brother that I ain't nothing cool about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't understand people. Took me one time, I said, okay, I'm cool. Never again. I'm all right. I'm scared straight now. I'm cool. Right there for life,
man.
You know? I just don't understand people with that.
I don't either, man. I like yams and chicken too much to be confined somewhere. So, I'm good. Anyway, man.
Good
Thanks, man. Thanks for the call, homie. All right, take it easy. Yeah, man. The AI thing, I knew. Yeah, and I ain't talking about the food. Anyway, but that being said, man, let's jump into some NFL talk, man. And this is outside of the whole Hernandez thing. Let's talk about some real football. Before I start, this is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher, it allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, iPhone, Android. And if you have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, kill yourself. But if you don't, you can still listen to our podcast right on your BlackBerry or Palm phone. The latest episode is always available for you. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room. That's one word, T-H-E-W-A-R-R-O-O-M. And use the coupon code The War Room to enter the contest to win some money. Now, let's talk football.
Boom, boom.
Listen, the first story. Listen, man. It's nothing really to be said about this, but I'm going to read it anyway. It, you know, because we talked about this guy way too much. Von Miller is to get 6 games instead of 4 games.
Oh, he's getting it.
An idiot. Yeah, he's getting 6 games instead of 4 games. It's crazy, but it is what it is, man. It's going to definitely affect the team because it's going to affect our pass rush. So this puts more pressure on the offense and Peyton Manning, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's
anyway,
a multiple offender.
I really have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, that's why he's getting the 6. And he knows it because he's not even trying to appeal anymore. He's acknowledged.
Might as well just get it over with.
Yeah, he acknowledged what his impact is, you know, to the team. So, you know, he did it.
Yeah, man, and that's the worst part about it, man. Like, yeah, you letting your teammates down, man. You letting Nas down. Anyway, the Texans. Antonio Smith has been suspended the final 2 preseason and regular season home opener for ripping off the helmet of Richie Incognito and swinging it at him. Did you see the play, Dad?
I saw it. I didn't see it live or anything. I checked it out on the internet, and truthfully, I think he got off easy because, first of all, what veteran gives 2 dams about the last 2 preseason games? Game 4,
man,
he probably wouldn't have played a snap in anyway. Probably wouldn't have got dressed. The only punishment he's really getting here is that game check for the first game of the season, and I'm pretty sure they're going to try to appeal that before it happens anyway. But as far as what he did, you know, Richie Incognito has never been known to be the cleanest player in the league. You know, he does a lot of stuff from that offensive line position that will frustrate you, but you can't lose your cool like that. You already know that. So to rip his helmet off,
he could have really hurt
swing
that.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to Richie Incognito for his dip game because he Floyd Mayweathered that helmet.
Yeah, he definitely did. But when I saw that, I saw it in slow motion. I said, "What?" Because I didn't know initially that he dipped it. I thought I was about to see like a definite decapitation, and he dipped it real nice. I thought I was watching Faces of Death or something. Like he really swung the helmet at my man's head. I'm like, "Come on, cuz." But you know, he definitely got off, you know, easy considering what could have happened. But and if he would have landed it, this would have been a different punishment.
That's what I was about to say. It's funny how it's funny how punishment differs when you miss. Bottom line. Because had he hit him, he probably wouldn't play a snap of football all season. If he hit
he would have Rudy Tomjanovich'd him if he'd have hit him with the helmet.
Exactly. So it's a situation where if his dip game wasn't as strong as it was, you know, so he should thank the dude that he was trying to decapitate because his dip game is the reason why you're playing NFL football this season. So he can go ahead. I don't even see why he would appeal. Just take that 1 game fine and just roll with it because you got off real easy.
This is absolutely true. Now, this next story right here, I want to hear you really break this down in detail because you are a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Oh, Lord.
You know, the Eagles have been in the news the last couple of years, and it's never been for winning or anything like that. They just seem to grab the headlines. But this story here is about Michael Vick, who has been named the starter in Philly. So I want to attack this from a couple of different angles. Do you think he should have been named the starter? What do you think the season will, you know, hold now that he is the starter? And, you know, just a little bit of your thoughts on Chip Kelly's offense, having watching them play a couple preseason games. What do you think?
First of all, watching Chip Kelly's offense play in Oregon, you know, before these preseason games, like, if anybody out there didn't know that this was already Mike
Vic's job, then you're just a very gullible person. I don't think a quarterback competition ever existed in Philadelphia. I think it was a situation where he was just trying to bring the best out of Mike Vick, so he called it a competition, an open competition. Come on. Chip Kelly knew exactly what he was doing. After all of the leading the media on and everything about when he's going to name his starter and not knowing when he's going to name his starter, to name your starter right before the third preseason game proves that you already knew who you had in mind, or you knew what you were going to do, because the third preseason game is where your starters go a little bit into the third quarter. So this is the point where he could end the shenanigans, end the charade, and put Mike Vick out there, because in the first two preseason games, he has, you know, his light has shone a little bit brighter than Nick Foles. You know, they both played well, in my opinion. I just, like I said, never thought that this was really a competition in the first place. Vic is more suited to his offense. Now, my thing is the excitement of a lot of Philadelphia Eagles fans, you know, when Vic was named the starter. I still don't understand the excitement that surrounds Mike Vic, because in 10 years in the league, he really hasn't proven to me that he's a good NFL quarterback. The best year he had was a few years ago in Philly under Andy Reid, where he, you know, threw for 3,000-something yards when he spelled Cobb in the first game. And even that season, like, he was kind of figured out by week 9. People seem to forget that part. I don't know. I really don't understand what the excitement was. People say Nick Foles isn't the answer. My thing is not that Nick Foles is the answer. It's just that if you're making wholesale changes, coaching staff, you know, a lot of the players, then why don't you just go all the way? It wasn't about Nick Foles being better than Mike Vick for this offense. It wasn't about him or anybody behind him being the answer. It's about moving on. We're going to keep doing the same things and expecting different results. We all know, you know, what that's the definition of. So I just don't understand why, you know, he's still on the team in the first place. Nothing against him personally. You know what I'm saying? I think personally, you know, he's a cool dude. I just don't think he's that great of a quarterback. So I don't really understand the excitement among Philly fans right now. Baffling
me. Yeah, it's kind of like they forgot, like, you know. But the thing is, Michael Vick has been one of those players since the day he walked in the league. Very polarizing player. Even with Atlanta, he was very exciting. He had a huge following from the some of the things he's done in college football. He's had all the physical tools. It's just the other things that he hasn't mastered at this point. And
at what point do you give up? It's not like he's a third-year quarterback, you know, and he's still trying to justify his draft position. This dude's been in the league. This is his 11th season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
10 years, he averages what? A little bit over 2,000 yards passing. I'm talking like 2,027 yards passing.
No, you're absolutely right.
He gets injured every other play.
But my thing is, I look at this also like because of the physical tools he's had. Now, we know he's slowed down, but he's also a tough guy who's a competitor. And the one thing you never question about him, whether you like him or hate him, is his competitive nature. And we also know that coaches, if you've ever talked to a coach, or not even, you don't have to talk to a coach, watch them get interviewed. Or watch one of the ex-coaches talk on one of these pre-game shows or post-game shows. They're very cocky, and all of them think that they can do what the last guy couldn't. So he also probably before he, you know, because he's on this is last year at this point now, right? He got 1 year extension, right?
Yeah.
I might pick that.
He's playing on a 1 year contract again.
So the thing is, Chip Kelly is probably like, look, let me see what I could do with this guy, you know, with what I have. And you know, and you can go from there and move to the future. But that's the one thing.
He's gonna get another $100 million contract.
Yeah, he's gonna do what I like to call the Derek Coleman theory. And if you guys don't know who Derek Coleman is, Derek Coleman was one of the best basketball players in the 90s. And he had, if you look at his statistics, the years where he had his like Uber numbers were the years that he was up for a contract. When it's time to get some money, D.C. will play like the best power forward in the league, and I'm not even exaggerating, bar none. Once he got it, he would have a hangnail and sit out 10 games with a two-piece Dickies outfit on. Like, that's just what Derek Coleman was. But, you know, that would be amazing if Mike Vick had a crazy year, and they like, you know, what do you do at that point? But
re-up again. See, my thing, my thing, like I said, I'm not on the bandwagon of Foles or Barkley or anybody being the savior, being the answer. I do believe, okay, if Mike Vick is on your roster with those two other guys and Chip Kelly is your coach and he's still running kind of this Friday Night Lights offense with the read option and the quarterback running and everything, of course Vick is your best option. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I think the new coaching staff might have lulled Eagles fans into a sense of, dare I say, you know, they just think that the team is automatically going to be so great because things change. Maybe, you know how the NFL is. One year you're up, one year you're down. It's possible they can go on a run, make the playoffs. But at the same time, I don't think all of this success should be the expectations. Of course, it's supposed to be your goal. But as fans, I don't think that should be expectation. So at this point, are we really looking for, you know, should we still be trying to work on projects because we still think he has, you know, something that he can learn? Or should we be moving on, you know, to the next
generation?
So
basically, your argument is you already know what you have with him, and you're not going to go anywhere further than you've already been.
Right.
So why not
right.
move on?
Because my thing
is kind of like –
because I keep bringing that up because people keep saying that to me in debates, like, well, Foles isn't the answer. I never said he was, but at the same time, how do we know he's not? He hasn't gotten a chance. So, I don't know. But
yeah,
we'll
totally
see.
You
know, I'm
an
Eagles fan, so I'll be rooting for Vic every week of the season. But
You're talking to a guy, right, who is a diehard Lakers fan who basically, I went online and said, maybe it's time we move on from Kobe. And I got killed for my fellow Lakers fans and even people who don't even like the Lakers. Are you crazy? I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at the name on the front of the jersey as opposed to the back, and you start making decisions as a business, sometimes you got to move on. At some point, Chicago had to move on from Jordan. I mean, it is what it is.
Front of the jersey versus back of the jersey. A lot of people.
Yeah.
Don't know
so sometimes you have to move on. And I get exactly what you're saying. You're not going to go any further with him, even with Chip Kelly. So why not see what you got? Like, if it was up to me, I would even skip Foles and go to Barkley. It's funny because
let him play.
Let him play and see what happens. Let him play and see what happens. And it's also a thing, if we talk about culture in sports and how sports are cultures, here's one thing that's being changed in the NFL due to guys like RG3, and two guys like Kaepernick, who we'll get to in a second. Now it's one of those things where these young quarterbacks have to produce right away, man, because Big Ben started all this. Big Ben was in the bowl with his first or second year. I mean, guys are expected. Now, before, when we were coming up, you would sit behind the quarterback for 5 years with a clipboard and just, no, not no more. Now, once in the blue, you get an Aaron Rodgers. Now, but now, you're thrown in there, and I say that's what
like
the Eagles should do. Throw the young guy in. See what happens,
You had Big Ben. I mean, he was on a great team. He was kind of like just the proprietor of the offense, but he didn't make mistakes and got the team where they needed to get. So like you said, he started it off, but then this whole class that came in last year, they messed it up for everybody coming behind them because the expectations are just crazy at this point. Like, there's no telling if any of those guys. Yeah, exactly. There's no telling if any of those guys will even have a good year in their second year. But the bar has already been set, and it's not just set for them. It's set for people who come in behind them. So you're a rookie quarterback. I feel for you.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, man, where you're going to be thrown in there right in the mix and see what you have. You go, like, you know, sink or swim. It's sort of like I don't remember, but I was always told the story. When I learned to swim as a kid, they just took me to the Y and threw me in the water, and you had to go for self, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what's going on now with these quarterbacks. So if I'm Chip Kelly – I might have took the opportunity, like, yo, let's throw Barkley in there and see what he has, you know, so we can make a decision. But holding on to Vic for one more year may slow the progress of the entire organization down, you know. But it's also a situation where Vic may not play the whole season, you know what I'm saying? Because this offense can't get your quarterback.
Season.
Yeah, when has Vic ever played the whole season? I mean,
he's
in the league, what?
He's played 16 games one time in his whole career, so...
Wow.
So, I mean, that's
how
why,
many,
that's
how
why
many years
I
is that?
Knew 10 years he's played 16 games once.
Wow.
I knew. That's why I said I knew from the door this was never a quarterback competition. I still think that Chip Kelly feels
comfortable enough in Nick Foles, you know, if they don't trade his ass. He feels comfortable enough that, you know, if Mike Vick goes down, then he has somebody that can run the offense effectively. Because he didn't look bad in the preseason himself. You know,
mm-hmm.
so he just didn't put up the same stats as Mike Vick. But, you know, different things come with different opportunities, different play calls and stuff like that. So I think he feels comfortable with Nick Foles stepping in. And I think any smart person would think that there's a high probability that Nick Foles will be called on at some point in the season. Hopefully not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants anybody to get hurt. But it is what it is with Mike Vick. You kind of know the situation. He's going to go for that extra yard. He doesn't know how to slide. It's not in his DNA. So because he is such a competitor and such a warrior, you know, it lands him on the sideline a lot. And we're in a part, we're in an era in the league now. We're entering an era where, you know, even a tough guy can't be that much of a tough guy because you get a head injury, they're going to, you know, sit you out of the game whether you want to be in the game or not. So, you know, even the tough guys can't just go back out there. So he's going to have to learn how to play a little less reckless if he wants to play a full season. But we'll see how it goes.
Man.
I just think they should have moved on from the Vic plan, but now we're here. So as a fan, got to root for it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, we talked about the pressure that's going to be coming up with the up-and-coming quarterbacks based upon what these young guys are doing. And speaking of that, one of the young guys in the NFL who has a lot of pressure on him this year is Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers.
Jaws just put some more on him.
Ron Jaworski, good old Jaws. I mean, we've also debated on War Room Sports TV. Go check out our channel about some of Jaws' placement of quarterbacks. But here's his new thing. He says Colin Kaepernick could be one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game of football.
Dice!
I don't know how Jaws does this based on half a season. Like, he didn't even start this past season as a starter. Kaepernick must have shown some improvement or whatever. Physically, the tools are there, but we pride ourselves on not being exactly. We pride ourselves on trying our best. You know, I mean, we're human, so we get excited on things. We try our best not to be prisoners of the moment.
Yeah. All right. Let me read his comments. He said, "I truly believe Colin Kaepernick could be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I love his skill set. I think the sky's the limit." Now, like you said, we try hard not to be prisoners of the moment, and we also try hard to interpret things, you know, as close to the way they were meant as possible. I'm going to give Jaws the benefit of the doubt because I know that Ron Jaworski's no idiot. I mean, of course, anybody who lives in a city where he's criticized your quarterback, I'm sure you'd think he's an idiot just because he criticized your quarterback. But in this situation, I don't think he's saying what everybody thinks he was saying. Because he qualified it with, "I like his skill set and the sky is the limit," it tells me that all he's really saying is with everything Colin Kaepernick can do, you know, there has to be a lot of ifs involved in it. You already have his skill set, but if he can do this and if he can do that, as far as, you know, the mental capacity, you know, he thinks he has the potential to be one of the greatest quarterbacks, you know, of all time. Now, you know, people do this all the time. Somebody comes in with a nice skill set because we know Colin Kaepernick maybe gets a reputation as a runner because he's so fast, but he's not just a runner. Colin Kaepernick is kind of accurate, you know what I'm saying? He drills passes at his receivers. His arm is very strong. I'm not just going to say because he was in the Super Bowl. That team was favored to go to the Super Bowl no matter who was under center last year. But the fact is, he was inserted into the lineup, and they did go to the Super Bowl. I can see what he's saying. I wouldn't have the heart to make that kind of assessment this early, but he did qualify it with saying with his skill set he could be. So I think a lot of people took it as him saying because of what he's done, he's on path to be, but that's not really what he said. So, you know, I don't think it was prisoner of the moment speak, because I can't really stand prisoner of the moment speak, but I think he was just going off a skill set standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. But, you know, only time will tell, man, because the one thing that he hasn't shown is the ability to, like, be that guy when now you're expected to be that guy. There's more pressure on him this year than there was even last year, because last year
even if he made a mistake in the Super Bowl leading up to it, it's like they would have blamed the coach because the coach made the decision to put him in over him in the third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was like he kind of had that to fall back on. Now he no longer has that. Now you're the
Alex
guy.
Smith
you're the guy coming into the season. Alex Smith isn't there. Yeah, you know, so it's like, let's see how you play with this pressure. And then we can, like, you know, start talking about, and I still wouldn't be ready. See, for me, it takes a body of work, and, you know, he just doesn't have it.
Yeah, because that's why, and that's why I'm saying I think he was just, like, really lauding his skill set at the moment. I just think, and I wouldn't go down that road because I just think using those words, those sensational-type words, you know, it shocks people. And whether you meant what they think you meant or not, that's what the people are going to hear. They're going to hear greatest of all time. Because actually, when it was reported to us, when somebody brought it to our page this morning, they said, Ron Jaworski said that Kaepernick could be the greatest of all time. And that's not even what he said. He said he could be one of the greatest of all time because of his skill set. You know how people kind of leave out the rest of what the person, the rest of the quote.
Yeah,
and just gives you the sensational part so everybody can call him an idiot for 5 minutes, you know, and then you can move on. But I really don't think he meant it that way, but I think he should stay away from that sensational language and then people can't get his words twisted. Because I'm sure he's I'm sure he's been explaining this quote all day. I'm sure people have been asking, like, are you crazy? But, so I'm basically thinking he means, you know, an athlete put together like Colin Kaepernick at the quarterback position with his skills has the potential to be the greatest of all time. But there's so many ifs, ands, and buts that will go into that statement, and he just left it there. So I guess he left it for people to interpret it the way they want it.
Yeah, this is absolutely true, man. But now I'm going to ask you the last quick question before we get out of here. And when you look at him, the Andrew Lux, the RG3s, and I'll even throw Cam Newton into that mix.
The forgotten
man. Out of these young guys, who do you think has the ability, based upon skill set and what you've seen thus far, to be somebody we're talking about 20 years from now?
You just named them all. Like, you just named
you
one.
Think just mean, those guys? I was saying out of those guys.
I would probably say all of those guys and maybe a couple of more. Definitely Luck, RG3, Cam Newton, Kaepernick. I don't know who the fourth one would be. I don't know if I see that yet in Tannehill. So for right now, I'll stick with those guys. I wouldn't even put Russell Wilson into that mix. I think Russell Wilson is very mature, you know, to be such a young quarterback, but I don't know if I can see him down the line being among the greats. But those guys you named, you know, I could definitely see that in their skill set, in their potential. But like I said, and Jaws didn't say, there's a lot of ifs in there. You know, if they mature the right way, you know, if they study, you know, football the way they're supposed to study football throughout their career, you know, if their leadership skills get to a certain point, you know, it's a lot of ifs.
I mean, there's
I
a lot of ifs because
in those four.
Because
just as easily as
we've all heard
that,
stories.
Right, just as easily we can say they have the potential to be among the greatest of all time, they all have the potential to start reading their own press clippings, smelling themselves, and they can just be garbage.
I'll put it like this, Dev. A couple years ago, people were talking about Philip Rivers is on his way to being one of the greats of all time. Now, dude's not even mentioned amongst the top, like, 20 quarterbacks in the league. He's basically, like, you know, people have given up on him in a sense. You know,
yeah, people had him top five when he was, like, in his first three seasons.
Exactly. And now, you know, he went from top 10 to not mention at all to his bodyguard, Lucci Wally versus. Anyway, with that being said, it's time to get out of here, people. Thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, those who chimed in on Twitter, all the calls who chimed in. Shout out to you. For those we didn't get to, we apologize. Remember, we'll be back next week. Tune in, same time, same place. And we'll, you know, put a wrap to this NFL preseason and give you our 2013 NFL season preview. We may have a special guest to help us do that. So, you know, just look for it on our website as well as our social media sites. Until then, enjoy your sports week. We'll see you right back here next week. Catch all of our conversations, Facebook, Twitter. And don't forget, BoardroomSportsTV.com for all of our video content. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
All the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. OneRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323 Brooklyn 0012.
Woo.
If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode.
Woo.
2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.